Green news for you.
Your environmental news source. Bring you the latest in environmental news.
With the weekly roundup.
A WPS production.
Hello, I'm your host Mel, and I want to welcome you to the 7th episode of Green News for You. Today is Monday, May 23rd, here in beautiful Washington, D.C. It is definitely warmer. We're expecting it to get up into the 80s this week. We can definitely tell that spring has sprung in this week's weekly roundup. If you've been following me on Twitter, you know that Bike to Work Day has passed. It was last Friday, and I've been pushing it a lot. Bike to Work Day was a huge success here in Washington, D.C. I stopped by one of the booths when I was cycling into work. They were giving away reflector tape, water bottles, a map of bike routes in Washington, D.C., t-shirts, bananas, and a lot of other stuff. It was a great success, so much so that Sunday they had Bike DC. They had 20 miles of roads closed down so your friends, family, and a whole lot of cyclists could get out there and ride on these roads car free. The roads led down the National Mall, U.S. Capitol, biked up Pennsylvania Avenue, White House, across the Potomac River into Virginia, and onto the Theodore Roosevelt Bridge, I-66. And they crossed the Potomac River again and finished back in Washington, D.C. If you missed this event, well, there's always next year. In New York, a former housekeeper by the name of Derek Prelew, who worked for a high-end Manhattan hotel, has pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and attempted rape of a woman who lived in the building, according to the Wall Street Journal. Derek Prelew admitted to the 2009 strangling of investment advisor Andre Bajani after breaking into her Jamra Essex House apartment. According to the article, Prelew was sentenced to 23 years to life in prison by Manhattan Supreme Court Justice Carol Berkman. Prelew will be formally sentenced on June 17th. In Butler, Indiana, a 27-year-old maintenance worker was killed after falling 100 feet off of the roof he was cleaning, according to the Chicago Tribune. David W. Gingrey, 27, was cleaning the roof of Steel Dynamics when the structure collapsed. The safety harness Gingrey was wearing failed to support his weight and snapped, causing Gingrey to go into a free fall to his death. My condolences go out to his family, and I hope that OSHA and Steel Dynamics, Inc. find out the cause of his safety harness not saving him from the fall. I'm sure that there may be a lawsuit in this. Well, it looks like Georgetown University students are working to get dining services to take an important step towards sustainability. Their goal is to get dining services to stop buying their eggs from cruel battery cage egg farms, where birds are packed so tight into small fence-filled cages that they can barely turn around and will never be able to spread their wings. National environmental organizations like the Sierra Club, Natural Resource Defense Council, and National Environmental Trust all condemn battery cage egg farms for their destructive impact on the environment. The Center for Food Safety has called for a ban on battery cage eggs because they pose a dramatic high risk of salmonella poisoning. And battery cages have, in fact, been banned in several states. Hundreds of other universities have gone cage-free, including Johns Hopkins, UMD, the Catholic University of America, Howard University, American University, and more. It's time for Georgetown University to do the same. A few podcasts ago, I let you all know I was going to make my own deodorant. Well, it's been 2 weeks, and overall, I've been very happy with the results. It did take some getting used to, like keeping your deodorant in the fridge because the coconut oil starts to melt at room temperature. And if you put too much on, the baking soda and cornstarch cake up, and it looks like you're making flour under your arms. I gross my kids out by eating some of the deodorant, which is totally safe after all. It's basically stuff used for cooking. While I was making it, one of my children called me weird, strange, and made comments like, "Daddy, you're freaking me out." The huge positive is that I do not have to use manufactured deodorant that has aluminum in it. Take a close look at your antiperspirant and see if it has aluminum. Aluminum antiperspirants clog the pores and stop your underarms from sweating. Your body sweats naturally to get rid of toxins and to cool you down. Because your pores are clogged, the toxins move to other parts of your body. In deodorants, it has been established that aluminum is a neurotoxin in very high doses. At high doses, aluminum itself adversely affects the blood-brain barrier and is capable of causing DNA damage. The blood-brain barrier is a separation of circulating blood and the brain extracellular fluid in the central nervous system. An increased amount of aluminum is also present in the brains of many Alzheimer's patients. One downside to making this type of deodorant is the melting point. As I stated earlier, at room temperature, the deodorant breaks down and starts to melt, so you must keep it refrigerated. I'm a cyclist that bikes to work and take a shower when I get to work at our fitness center. I'm fortunate to have a fridge in my office, so I have some place to place my deodorant without people looking at me like I'm crazy. I would like to find a natural oil I could substitute in place of coconut oil that has a higher melting point. When making this, it smells just like deodorant you buy off the shelf. Another positive is the cost. It actually is a lot cheaper to make your own deodorant. I'm not going to break it down here on this podcast, but you can go to my webpage, look at the ingredients, do the math yourself, and you will definitely see a huge savings. I want to thank Lindsay at Passionate Homemaking for the wonderful directions. Only thing I did different was add about 6 drops of tea oil. It's a powerful immune stimulant, and it helps to fight infections and promote cleaner skin. Liberty Tire out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is donating its tire collection and reclamation service to help an Atlanta area community center facing a dilemma. Crews from the company's plant in Atlanta will collect and recycle as many as 1,000 scrap tires that were illegally dumped on the property of the Art Exchange. Warmer months are among us, and abandoned tire piles can be a haven for vermin and insects. They can also cause a fire hazard. The Art Exchange certainly doesn't want to face such a situation when they host outdoor activities for children, said Dewey Grantham, a regional sales manager for Liberty Tires Recycling. When the center contacted us to tell us what they were facing, we were happy to offer our assistance at no charge. Employees at the Art Center have been working to resolve the situation since they discovered the tire piles last fall. When they began making inquiries into how to remove the tires, they learned that the center may be charged as much as $2 per tire to have the scrap tires removed. This would have resulted in thousands of dollars in cost. We are a nonprofit art center that aims to provide affordable workspace for visual and performing arts. Our tenants include African dance companies, an online digital arts magazine, and a youth steel band, said Lisa Tuttle, member of the board of directors for the Arts Exchange and a studio artist. As you might imagine, we have limited resources. We are pleased that Liberty Tire is willing to perform these services to us and to the community at no cost. Once the tires are collected, Liberty Tire Recycling will grind the tires into crumb rubber, which is composite or component in a host of eco-friendly products on the market today. These products include rubber mulch for landscaping and playgrounds, infill for synthetic athletic fields, and rubberized asphalt, which is used for municipalities across the country to make roads more durable and safer. Great work there, Liberty Tire Recycling. Some events coming up in June. We have National Trails Day, which is held the first Saturday of June. World Environmental Day is June 5th. World Ocean Day is June 8th. The Great American Backyard Campout is being held in the latter part of June. In July, we have World Population Day, which is being held June 11th. This ends another episode of Green News for You. I want to thank you for listening. All information that's on this podcast can be found at my webpage, which is greennews4u.com. I hope that you found it very informative. I love feedback, so please do leave feedbacks on the stories that you've heard in this podcast. Until the next podcast, I hope you have a great eco week.